Okay, so praise God. Indeed, it is a great, great morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And yesterday I was started to be drawn, in my meditations towards what I will call the code of life, or where I would ask, what is the breath of God, you know? And when we think scientifically, there's all this so much craze about AI, about trying to create life, trying to, have all these robots and trying to give them human experiences, or trying to make them smarter than humans, or trying to even just make them as human as possible. They can put skin, they can create, all these things. But then there is something that they have never cracked, and which is the code of life, and rather which is animating or giving life to these creations, because that is only something that comes from God. So, you can see the scientists, they have tried there, and they're still trying today. They will try even cloning, even all that, but the only thing that is impossible, that they have not been able, and they will never be able until they come back to the Bible, to understand that life has its origin in God, and it is only God who is the author of life, and it is only He who has that code of life that we can, which we see as the breath of God. And based on this, it was just reflecting on what are some of the metaphors of the Holy Spirit, like we've once talked about it, what are some of the symbols of the Holy Spirit that are there? And one of it is just the breath of God. And when we start in Genesis, we see, from the onset, when we start in Genesis chapter 1, the first thing that stands out is that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the earth, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, when we see that, first of all, we see that in the beginning, God was there. In the beginning, it started with God. And of course, John sees a greater beginning where he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made without Him. So when we see this, but when we get to the creation of the world, we see that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And the word Spirit there that is used is Ruach. And Ruach really is wind, or by resemblance to what we will understand, it's the breath. That is the and even there's a description that says it's an exhalation. You understand? So it's exhaling. It's like the exhalation of God. So it's a breath. It's a burst of air. It's a blast of air. It's a wind. And the Bible says the wind, which is the ruach in Hebrew, it's ruach. The ruach, the wind of God was hovering over the waters. Then, and the Bible says God starts to form man. But then now, if you jump to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, which is where now what we see, where God actually animates man. And remember in 1:26, He had said, God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, over the birds, over the air, over every creeping little thing, and over everything on the earth, and over the created works of God. So God desired that man is made in the image and likeness of God, that he will have dominion, and he will dominate, and he will have the experiences that God would do on the earth. And so when we see Genesis chapter 2, when we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord God formed man of the dust, of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I will look at different versions that they speak of that. But then what we see is that the Bible says that God formed man from the dust. Now, you can think of the word that is used there for formed is yatsar. Now, yatsar means to squeeze into shape as a potter forming a container. Now, you can think of let's say you're making a sculpture, like maybe as a child you have this modeling, or you're using mud, and the Bible says that God squeezed into shape as a potter forming a container. Now, for me, that word was very interesting. When you look at that word, when God said God formed man of the dust, that means he squeezed the dust and the mud and he formed it into a container. And then the Bible says, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, here is that God exhaled, or God released his spirit, a component of his spirit, into this container that was formed, into this model, into this shape of this body of a man that was formed. And when that spirit entered the container, or entered this mud that God had made, then by his breathing on the body, then what happens? The Bible says, then the man became a living soul. Now, if you look at different versions, in King James it says man became a living soul. In New King James it says man became a living being. Now, in Amplified it said, and the Lord God formed, that is, created the body of man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, and in bracket, an individual complete in body and spirit. Now, it's describing to us that the man that was created became a living being, which is an individual complete in body and spirit. So when we see that it is by the addition of the breath of God into this body, into this container that God had formed, that made a human being. And then now it becomes a human being, a living being, which is complete in body and soul, body and spirit. And then ESV says, and the man became a living creature. So what we see is that the thing that God made when he made a human being or a living being is that he breathed himself. He gave a component of his breath into the man, and by that it was able to come to alive, and the man became alive. So that means that the code of life only originates from God. Now, you can think of all the creations that man tries to make, they'd have to either put an engine, they'd have to put oil, they'd have to put, you know, they'd have to put, you know, machines, screws and all that. But these things cannot have a mind of their own, be it whether it's AI or not. It is programmed. It has to be programmed. It has to be fed. It has to be, you know, corrected from viruses and all that. But this cannot be alive. It cannot be alive. It only responds to what the instruction that has been given. Now, this breath of life, or the code of life that entered, became the exhalation of God, and then it became the inhalation of man. So the breath into the nostrils of the container of man gave the man life. Now, when the man is given life, and this is... Now we are seeing he's now a living soul, and that word is like nephesh. So it's a living being with life, with body, and having a will of its own, having a character. And because God wanted this man to be like God and made in the image and likeness of God, he said, let us make man in our image and likeness. This man carries the component of God and the content of God. And I can imagine the angels. The Bible says when he formed man, the angels rejoiced, because for a moment they were shocked that how can the creator enter the container of these feeble bodies. And they're wondering, how can God be contained in man And this is the aspect that they really wanted to understand and to see. And so they were seeing the Spirit of God contained in a creature called man, in a body. And this was something that was unique, because now the angels were seeing that and they were surprised. You know, now when we come to that, then we see that it is the breath of God that gives man life. Now, if you look at the book of Job, Job says that there is, and this is in Job, in Job chapter 38, which is, I think it's 38 verse 36, if I don't get it wrong. Let me first start with Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says that the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And maybe let me just put it in TPT. It says the spirit God breathes into man is like a living lamp, a shining light, searching into the innermost chamber of our being. Now, what does that word say? It's saying that God, when he put his spirit in man, or he put that spirit that gives man life into the man, then it becomes the candlestick, or it becomes a lamp through which God is able to communicate to man and is able to search out or to shed light on the man. Because all that we need from God is within us. I mean, whatever destiny that we have, that God created, it is from that component of his spirit that he gave us. You understand? So now, that life that came from the breath of God gives the man life. And the Bible says there is a spirit in man that the breath of the Almighty, it giveth him understanding. So this spirit in man, and this in the book of Job, the breath of God, it gives him understanding, and it comes from God. Now, the breath of God is what gives life. Now, when we quickly go to the book of Ezekiel 37, we see that Ezekiel is in a vision, and this is a vision of the valley of dry bones. And the Bible says that he went by the Spirit, he was taken to this valley, and he saw this valley full of dry bones, dead bones. And God asked him, can these dry bones live again? And God says, and he says to God that only you, Lord, know. And God said, prophesy to these dry bones. Tell them, I will make flesh come on you. I will unite your joints and I shall bring you back to life. And so the Bible says he prophesied as he was commanded. And what he did and what happened is that bone came back together. The joints, the sinews, the everything. And it stood before him a mighty army. But then this army did not have life. It was a body, yes. It was a body, but then God tell him, prophesy to the wind and speak to the wind and tell the wind, come forth, that you will give it life. And so now when he speaks to the wind and he prophesies to the wind, the Ruach, which is the Spirit of God, comes and animates this army. It gives this body life. And God says that I will put my spirit on you and I will give you life, because it represented the Israelites who had given up on hope. And God tells them that, you know what? I am going to give you life. I am going to give you life. So the life that came to that body, to that army that was dead, that was dry bones, is the breath of God. So the cord of life that came, that animated that, was only the breath of God. Then now you ask yourself, so that means that for us to experience life, there is something that God has to do. He has to breathe on us and to give us the breath of life. Now, we have what we call the soulish life, and every human being that is of Adam, that is made after Adam, is made after the soulish life, or what is now the living thing or the living creature that God breathed on man. But you see, because this man fell and that life or that spirit became spiritually dead, it became corrupted, it was necessary for God to come and breathe a second time on this man such that he can give him the Zoe or the life of God through the Holy Spirit. And this is why Jesus says in John chapter 3 that unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the word kingdom there is realm. You cannot come to the realm of God. So now, how does God establish that? Now you see, when Jesus, after he was resurrected, and you can see this in John chapter 20 from verse 22 onwards, you will see that he came to his disciples when they were in a room alone. And the Bible says, as they were in that room, then he breathed on them. And that is very important for us to see, because that breathing on the disciples is actually where he now does what he did in the beginning, where he breathed into the nostrils of man. Jesus also breathes into his disciples, just the same way God did. And in this, he now gives them the spiritual life. I know we always see the baptism of the Holy Spirit as when the Pentecost came, but ideally that's not when it actually came. They were actually filled with the Spirit of God after the resurrection, when the Bible says he breathed on them and he actually says, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." So they received the Spirit of God when they were with Jesus after his baptism. And then he tells them, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of my Father. Do not leave Jerusalem," Luke 24 to 29, 49. "Do not leave Jerusalem until you are clothed, you are endued." That means that when you're clothed with power from on high. So when they are anointed, now that is the difference. Now the first experience is that we see that the Spirit breathes on them, and when that happens, they are made alive. And this being made alive is which now gives them the spirit life. Now, they are no longer living souls, because remember, in the first expression, when God breathed into man in the Old Testament, man became a living soul. But now in the New Testament, and for those that believe in Christ today, God also breathes into us. He gives us the code of life. But now this life does not take us back to Adam, but it takes us to Christ. And now the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come, and all things are of God. Now, this new creation is the one that has received the code of life, the code of Zoe, the code of the life of God, and the spirit life, which now makes this new creation, as the disciples became a new creation, we receive an additional life that now animates us further. It gives us life further. And that's why we move from spiritual death into being made alive in the Spirit. That's why the Bible says you are made alive in the Spirit. Now, when we are made alive in the Spirit, it is now by the rebreathing, or the second breath of God releasing his breath in us a second time. Now, what is that telling us? That for any creature to have life, it needs the breath of God. For us to be alive spiritually, we need the Holy Spirit, which is the breath of God breathing on us. Now, once he has breathed on us, as we continue to be filled with him, then what happens is now we can then have the outpouring, which is an overflow of the Spirit that is within us. And that's why Jesus in John chapter 7 verse 37 says that to those that are thirsty, out of them shall flow out rivers of living water, from within them welling up unto bubbling forth. That means the life that comes from God does not come from above, but it comes from within. Why? Because the rivers of living water now burst forth from within their belly. So now the outpouring or the infilling or the anointing flows forth as rivers from within us, from that component, from that breath of God, the initial breath that came into us, in our members, that gave us and made us alive the second time. So, what am I saying in simplicity? We need the breath of God over our lives. We need God to breathe his life over us. And that happens only when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when that happens, God breathes his life into us and he makes us spiritually alive. And when we are made that, we are given, we are made into a new creation. We are no longer just living souls, but now we are life-giving spirits, because the Bible says the last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. And those that are after Adam are made like Adam, but those that are after Christ are made in the image and likeness of Christ. So when we receive his breath into this container that we have, this container that was squeezed into shape, then we have the breath of life or the code of life, and we have a higher life. That means we have Zoe, which is the life of God, and we that have believed in God, we have received the higher life that is even higher than the life of Adam. That's why don't think of yourself as simple. As you have believed in Christ, you have the life of God. So I'll stop there, and I pray that God will give us more insight and reflection into his word. So, my brothers and sisters, you're welcome.
Thank you for the great word. No addition.
Okay.
Thanks for the word.
Amen. Amen.
We have reached home.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Okay, let us pray. Amen. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we give you glory, we praise your name, we thank you for your word, thank you for your servants that have reached well. We do not take it for granted. We know that you are in charge, you have elevated them, and you have done the impossible, and may your name be praised. Remember our family members, watch over them, give them your grace. Remember us, remember your people, O God. Them that are unwell, O God, show your mercy, O God. Heal our homes, heal our families, heal our children, heal our workplaces, O God. May your grace, presence, and favor be with us each and every step of the way. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom and blessed day. Amen. Bye-bye.